Oh, praise the Lord. All He has done. Man, He's done a lot in my life. Protecting me. How many of you know when I say, Lord protected me from myself? You know what I'm talking about? Man, I am thankful that He has done that. Joshua chapter number 2. That was excellent. Joshua chapter number 2 this morning. I'm really praying that the Lord would just meet our needs here today through this message. And I pray that it would be an encouragement and a strength to you. I've been praying about this message for a couple weeks now, and thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach it. Joshua chapter number 2 and verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for today. God, is that song just so fresh in our minds. God, thank You for all You've done. God, just being here today, look out over the crowd and know that Your hand of protection has been in our life. Lord, You've saved us. You paid the ultimate penalty for our sin. And God, You've done so much. Thank You for saving my soul. Lord, I pray as we open up Your word here today that God, Your power would be evident. And Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and minds today. God, that we would be challenged and encouraged all at the same time. Truly, we need to hear from You. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua chapter number 2, we're getting ready for the conquest of the promised land. The nation of Israel has come out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. They've wandered. They've done all those things. And now Moses is dead. Joshua is in charge of the nation of Israel, and they're about to be led into the promised land. The only problem is that it's not empty. There's inhabitants in the land that God says, I actually want these people out of here. Joshua, I'm going to use the nation of Israel, and there's people that are staying there that shouldn't be there, and I'm going to use you to conquer this group of people, and in doing so, this is going to be your land. And so Joshua, under the guidance of the Lord, sets out to do such the thing. It tells us in Joshua chapter number 2, and Joshua the son of Nun set out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. We're familiar with the story of the Jericho. And as they, before they ever march around the city, he sends out 2 spies, and they find themselves in a situation. Brother Parrott, I don't know how this all fits into abstain from all appearance of evil and such things, but the 2 spies for the nation of Israel go into sneak into Jericho, and they find themselves, Ray, at the harlot's house. Well, they're going to have some explaining to Mama to do when they get back home. But God led them there, and I can't wait to see how that all worked out. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. I think it's clear that they're not participating in the activities of the house. They just lodged there. You know, I love when God uses things that just kind of confound our mind. He used the simple things of this world to confound the wise, right? Amen. And here he takes a harlot and he says, I'm going to use you if you'd like. And she liked. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither into the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. Word got out in the city of Jericho that there were spies. Spies in the land. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee. They knew exactly where they were. They go to the house of Rahab and they say, I want the 2 spies. which are entered into thy house, for they become to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. That means I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them in the stalks of the flax, which she laid in order upon the roof. There's guys hiding in the roof. You go, wow, what a commendable thing. Look at verse 7. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So she sends them out and she says, hey, listen, they left. They went right out that door just a little while ago. And they're like, well, let's go get them. And they go after them. She's hiding them in the roof. Kind of an interesting thing. Can you put this in modern day terms? How would this be? What would this be like? Well, let's think about this. Here you are in your little town, wherever it is that you live. Blake, you live in the great town of Murray, and there two Chinese men knock at your door. Say, we're Chinese spies. We're looking to take over Murray. We think God's behind all this. Can you hide us? Why would she do that? Imagine at your house, a knock at your door, all of a sudden two Russian spies. What would you do? Oh yeah, go hide over there. I got somebody you're going to want to come see. Right? Isn't that what you would do? So why would she do this? Why did she hide them? Was it right that she hid them? Oh, most certainly. But why did she do it? Let's look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terrors have fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They had a testimony that far preceded them. Before these two spies ever stepped foot in the city of Jericho, what God has done in the past preceded them. There was a name about them. It was known of them. It was known what they had done and what God has done with them. They laid a trail behind. She gives two examples here. She says, For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and that you did under the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. She's like, we heard about the Red Sea. We heard about how you took over those countries. Word got here. Verse 11 is what I want to draw our attention to. And as soon as we had heard these things, the Bible says, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Oh, man. Little did they know that when they were backed up against the Red Sea, remember the Red Sea? Remember what they told Moses? Moses, you brought us out here to die. Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? They didn't know about that part. They just heard about the parting of the Red Sea. They heard about the parting. They heard about walking across on dry ground. They heard about the walls of water. We talked about this in our Bible study class. Water doesn't work in walls. It seeks its own level. We proved it. We did a little scientific experiment in Bible study. Water doesn't stand up. It seeks its own level. And for the water to be dry and then to be, water to be a wall and then the ground to be dry, they said, we heard about that. We heard about once you crossed and then the water came rushing down and killed Pharaoh and all his men. We heard about the conquest of Sihon and Og, how you utterly destroyed those cities. And it scared the fire out of us. It says, and as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. And I want you to underline this next phrase. Because of you. Because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in the heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my Father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Those are some powerful words. And the thought of the message here today is because of you. Because of you, we know that there's a real God. Because of you, we know about this is a heathen nation. This is a heathen city. It cares nothing about the things of God. So much so that even a harlot in her house her heart has melted. She's turned towards from her way of life to say, make me a promise. Because of you, I know that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So what does that look like? I'm going to ask you here this morning, because of you, who knows that there's a God in heaven and in earth that has all power? Who, when you walk into the room, it's the God of this person shows up. Because of you, is there a demonstration of God's power? What did it take for the nation of Israel to express this power, to have this testimony? I'll tell you, it's really simple. They just did what God told them to do. There were no Israelites there building water retention devices. Say, what is that? Those are dams. When they crossed the Red Sea, all right, here's what we got to do. We got to create an engineering structure to be able to. They didn't build bridges. They didn't build boats. They just did what God told them to do. And I wonder if in our life, if we just did what God told us to do. No, God, here's what you need. You need me to engineer this. No, I actually just need you to get out of the way and let me do what I'm going to do. Hey, the world, listen, the world doesn't need new definition of Christianity, but a new demonstration, right? Ravenhill said that. They just need someone to say, I believe what God says, and I'm just going to do what He tells me to do. And then may you have the testimony of, because of you. Because of you, do others know about the Lord? Because of you, have they seen God's power? Have they heard of what God has done? Again, the power of God is expressed through simple obedience to what He has told us. The nation of Israel did nothing other than just do what God told them to do. And I think it's exactly the same for us today. God needs my wit. No. He needs my knowledge. No, He just needs you available to do what He's told you to do. And let Him do the rest. And then, because of you, He is God in heaven, above, and in earth beneath. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 29. It has become a favorite verse of mine. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Because of you, the power of God was seen. But it took obedience. 1 Chronicles 29:11. If you're not there, you can just listen. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is mine? No, is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Hey, if that's who God is, what does he need from me? Just to obey him. If he has all power, if he has all majesty, if he has all glory, if he has all victory, what does he need from me? Just to do what he tells us to do. Honestly, to just get out of the way and let him do what he's to do. To utterly destroy, to work miracles. The power of God ought to be demonstrated in our life on a daily basis. That, again, when someone comes in contact with you, do they know there's a God of heaven and earth that is expressed and shown through the demonstration of God's power in our obedience? But it's also expressed in a demonstration of God's love. Say, what does that look like in my life? Sacrifice. To demonstrate love, a sacrifice has to be made. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When he loves us, what does he do? He sacrifices. Today's Marshall's birthday, right? 41 today. Yeah. And as family, what would they, maybe you get a gift or a cake or something special. And it takes money to do. Why are they expressing that? Because why are they making a sacrifice? Because they love him. Are you demonstrating God's love towards others? Again, I'm going to ask, who will be the ones that will stand for the Lord and demonstrate this? Who is going to carry the testimony that when others see you, they say, because of you, I know God is real? I've seen him work in your life. There's no doubt. There's no evidence. There's way too much. Things happened in your life that only God can do. Coming from the mouth of Rahab the harlot in a secular city that's about to be destroyed. Have you demonstrated the power of God? Have you demonstrated God's love? Have you demonstrated faith? Say, how do I do that? It takes faith. If we follow along with what the nation of Israel did here, next chapter is crossing. We had the crossing of the Red Sea. They're about to cross the Jordan River. Crossing of the Jordan River is a little bit different than the crossing of the Red Sea. Why? Because Moses stands up, he raises his staff, and the whole water parts, and they can see it. But it's not until they get their feet into the Jordan River does it part. No, Stephen, that makes me a little nervous. There they come up to the water and they got to get their feet in. Hey, faith is going to need to be demonstrated. You're just going to have to trust the Lord. What are you praying about? What are you praying that God, if we bring out our prayer lists, what's on the list that is a thing that only God can do? That at the end, God gets glory from it. And someone can say, hey, because of you, I know that, because of what God has done through you, I know that there's a God of heaven and earth, the true God. What prayers has he answered in your life? The Bible tells us about a peace that passes all understanding. What is that going to take from you? That's just going to take you to trust him. Again, where are the ones that will stand for the Lord and demonstrate this? Don't you? When I read this passage, those words jumped off the page to me. When she looks at them, these two spies, and they come out of the roof, and she goes up and talks with them, and she goes, and they're probably asking, why'd you do that? And she says, because of you, we all know that there's a God. And that smote my heart. Who in this world knows that there's a God of heaven and earth that paid the ultimate price for their sin because of you? How about this? Who in your life has showed you that? Who was that demonstration of that to you? Who took the promises and the truths of the Word of God and demonstrated it? Maybe in not great feats, but just a daily consistency, a faithfulness, just sticking with it, not giving up on the hard times. Who showed you that? Who was a mentor to you? Who encouraged you in your faith? Who didn't quit when it got hard? I don't know about you, but I want to be that to somebody. I want someone to stick in it. Because God has worked in my life and they saw that. Say, that's arrogant. No, that's humbling. I want to be part of something great. We talked about that Wednesday night. The work of God is great. So we read Joshua chapter number 2. She testifies, because of you, I know there's a God of heaven. And I ask the same question. Who knows that because of you? So how does the story end? They cross over the Jordan River. Go to Joshua chapter number 6. The story doesn't end with that. Outside of our, so this would be on the south side of our house, we have these enormous lilac bushes, and they're nice, they're pretty, they're lovely, and they smell nice, and I like them. And I'll go, and they're right outside my bedroom window, and I get to look at them, and Sarah likes flowers, and she plants flowers, and she likes to look at those, and we have plants at the house, and we like those, and I like that. And I've told you this: I like to sit and watch the birds feed. And was watching a cardinal. Anybody see the moon last night? Beautiful. All these things. I look at all this stuff, and I think, man, this is wonderful, and I'm so thankful for God's creation. But as I look at all those things, I think, who's looking at our life and saying, yes, the heavens declare the glory of God, and yes, the creation is evidence of his handiwork and all of those. But so it is in our daily life too. That someone could look at my life and say, I believe because of your testimony. Be careful that you not quit too early. Say, when is too early? When the Lord's done with you. I think the things of God, as we study, all those things are beautiful things, but I think the most beautiful things in this whole entire world is when God works with man and does something amazing. And that's what this story is. There's two spies in the nation of Israel, and they go and they find themselves in Jericho, and they find themselves at a harlot's house, someone that you and I would probably write off 100 times over. And God uses her, and she hides the spies, so much so that the officers of the government of the town comes to her house and says, hey, we know they're here. She's like, no, they ran out that gate a little while ago. You should go check them out. They're running really fast. You might catch them, though. The minute the gate closes, she runs up there and says, hey, I need you to make a promise that when all this goes down, you save me, my family, my sisters, my brothers, my daughter, my parents, everybody, my household. In Joshua chapter number 6, as we continue the story, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. That in itself is a story. But Joshua had said in Joshua chapter number 6 and verse 22, and Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's house and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. See, in Joshua chapter number 2, she says, because of you, I believe. And now there's a whole group of people that can say, because of her, we're here today. If it wasn't for her faith and her obedience to God, our whole family would be wiped out. Because of you, now it's because of her. See how that transferred? See, we get a part to be part of something and see something, but my question is, who's next? Hey, maybe you more identify with Rahab's house than you do the spies. My life hasn't been clean. It's been a little messy. It's been rough, but God is working with me. And I just wonder, if God can use Rahab and save her house, her family was saved because she put her faith and trust in what God was doing. See, that's a unique circumstance. Happened at Lydia's house. Acts chapter 16. Happened at the Philippian jailer's house, Acts chapter 16. Happened at Crispus's house in Acts chapter 18. Because of their belief, the household was saved. Because someone else came and told them. So here comes the apostles, or Paul, and he shows up at their house. This one believes, and because of her, they're saved. Well, so it is with Joshua. Joshua sends 2 spies. And because of the testimony of that, it saves Rahab. And because Rahab, now her house is saved. That's a beautiful story. The things of God are a beautiful thing. He takes unwanted, unusable things, damaged goods, and he can use them for his honor and glory. I'm thankful for that. Hey, that's you and I. Because of you, because of her, lastly, because of him. Because of him. Because of him, I was lost, but now I'm found. Because of him, I was blind, but now I see. Because of him, I was a sinner, and now I'm saved. Because of him, I was destined for a path of eternal punishment, but now I can spend eternity in heaven. Because of him, I went from an enemy to a friend. Because of him, he broke down the middle wall of partition and allowed access to the very throne of God, a place where I can find mercy and grace, it says. Because of him. Because of him, I am no longer a stranger, but a fellow citizen. Because of him, I want to serve him with my life. And because of him, I want to be the because of you. We ought to want to be the one to demonstrate what God has done in our life and the wonderful works that he has done. Because of him, I want to be the because of you, because of her. And do you see the cycle? It's a wonderful cycle. There's bad cycles, I get it. But this is a beautiful one. Rahab the harlot hid the 2 spies because someone demonstrated the power of God in obedience. And because of her faith, she saved her whole family. which brings us to Christ, who changed our life. Because of him, I have something I don't deserve. Eternal life. None of us deserve that. But because of him, I can have all my sins forgiven. I have a promise. Man, I like promises. I like to look at the news I don't like to look at the news. I like to look at the weather and seeing what's going on. And I like when I see the chances 100%. Why? Because I know. Like next week, 100% chance of sunshine. Man, I like that. 100% chance of rain. At least I know what I'm getting. I don't like the 30 or 40 or 50%. It's like, well, do we? No, it's not going to. It's going to rain. No, it doesn't rain. And you just don't know. I like the promises of God. If he says it, it's sure. And because of him, we have eternal life. Because of him, our sins are washed away. Because of him, we have fellowship each and every day. Because of him. Who's a believer because of you? Who's going to say, hey, I want God to work in my life that others might come to Christ? Let's all stand this morning. Appreciate your attentiveness. In a moment, the music's going to play. The invitation is simple. Where are the ones that will stand for the Lord and demonstrate because of you? If you're here today and you don't know what Jesus did for you, if you're unsure of all that is available to you because of him, I invite you to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. He went through quite a bit for you. He paid for something that you should have. You know, the Bible tells us this. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You can't show up to God and say, all right, what's salvation cost? He says, you can't buy that. It's through grace and faith. It's a gift. Will you receive that gift today? Will you live a life that brings others to the Lord? A demonstration of his power through obedience. A demonstration of love through sacrifice. A demonstration of faith through prayer. A demonstration of peace through trust. Who in your life are you showing that to? Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now. Lord, as you stir in our hearts, this thought just rang so loud. And God, I pray that you would encourage us to live a life that would draw others to you. Lord, bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today?